Today's lesson is a continuation of last week's lesson. And as we sung the song before our lesson today, it reminded me, it says, I love to tell the stories. And I know that when I preach lessons, there are certain ones that I truly enjoy preaching. To me, they have a lot of meaning, maybe a benefit, or maybe it's something joyful and joy to talk about, encouraging. Today's lesson, to me, is not one of those lessons. Maybe you think so, but last week's lesson, I really liked it. It was a good lesson for me to remind us to be positive. Try to keep a positive outlook. There's enough bad stuff in the world, and really bad stuff, stuff that's truly bad, to make stuff up even. So we rejoice that they like 90-degree weather. That's great, right? And you like that. That's great. But there's also the antonyms, the opposites, the negative side of this. And as we look in Ephesians 4, you probably noted from last week, identical scripture reading, there is a list of no-nos there, I guess we could say, right? The don'ts, don't do these. And so you're preparing the lesson that it's one that's, I guess it needs to be preached, but I'm not excited about it. Maybe we learn something. I honestly don't think we're going to look at this as, oh my word, I got to change my life completely. But there's probably no doubt there are certain aspects as we talk about these that's going to say, oh, I probably could do better on that, right? That's just the way Scripture is. That's the way learning about righteousness is. Jesus set such a high bar that it's hard to attain. And that's where it hits home for us about what we lack sometimes and where we can improve. And that's what this lesson today hopefully would draw from that. And I'm going to use the word the most egregious forms of speech are mentioned today. And that's why I say it's just not one I'm excited about preaching, but I think it's going to be a good lesson for us. And so we talked last week about being encouraging and edifying, lifting others up, even being positive. And my original intention was to focus on positive mindsets this month, but I took it where, in my mind, the scripture I wanted to use was here in Ephesians, and Ephesians 4 is about speech. And so we're looking at this, our speech and being positive and encouraging. And we talked about how Paul said he wants your speech, he wants our speech, he wants the Ephesian speech to be good, to the benefit of others, filled with kindness or encouragement, uplifting, edifying, all those good things and wonderful things. And the idea of good and goodness is to give a man not just what he deserves, but what's to his benefit and to his help. And it's that, as human beings, as people who live in this world, we have weaknesses, we have challenges, we have difficulties, we have days we don't meet the expectation. And some days, if we are done good on those days, we didn't deserve it. That's what that's about. And being able to speak good things and edifying, encouraging things, even on my bad day and on your bad day. That I can do that for you, and you can do that for me, we can do that for each other. And so we talked about that some last week and how it should be good. And we contrasted, Paul mentions here, about the corrupt. And the corrupt is even putrid, atrocious, decayed, rotten. I was joking with the guys in back. I had a tag on my tie that was just annoying me, so I pulled my pocket knife out, and then I remembered I gutted a fish Sunday night last week. A whole week I've carried a pocket knife in my pocket full of fish guts. It didn't smell that well. It still really don't, but I went to the bathroom and I cleaned it. It's yucky. It's disgusting. It's stuff that we don't even want on our hands. And it leaves a sour, and my hands smell like fish right now. My knife still smells like, even though I washed them. It just sticks with you. That's what this is about. When we talk about corrupt speech, stuff that is not good, that's not beneficial, even putrid. And that's what this list is about that he goes into. This about is what he teaches. We are to put away. The idea of putting away is to remove from us, to separate from us, to distance ourselves from it. We don't want to have any association. There's a hyperbole here, we'll use that. One extreme is good and edifying, inspiring, encouraging. And then the other side is this putrid, yucky, gross. And we want to stay way away from that. And we want to go over here. What Paul's saying, put these things away. Be it far from you. Be it far from you. And the first word he mentions is bitterness. So in verse 31, let all, don't leave any place for any of these, let all bitterness. And I don't know, we have a tree down south called a persimmon tree. And they make really good orange little sweet fruits in the fall, about this time. You're going to start dropping. But if you bite into them when they're green, they got a pucker factor more than eating a green, you put one of these hickory nuts in your mouth or walnuts out here. They will just, it's bad. It will stay with you a long time. That's what bitterness is. A spirit of resentment. These are pulled from commentators, basically. Smoldering resentment. In other words, you just simmer and just stew in it is a word we use down south anyways, right? Holding a grudge willfully and intentionally. I'm not going to give this up because I was done wrong or I was done this. That's bitterness, the spirit of resentment. The desire and intentional and even enjoying taking fulfillment out of angry feelings or even ready quickly to take offense and the quick to anger aspect of that. That's bitterness. These are all pulled from commentators how they establish what this word really means. And it's not good, obviously, right? It's bitter, bitterness. So he says, put this away from you. This has no part in our Christian life. And so we want to remove this. Then wrath. In these next two words, I struggle with separating. I know there's a difference in them. To me, it's a moot point, and I'm going to explain that in a minute. But wrath is something, an agitated feeling that boils up, may erupt suddenly, irritable passion, a fierce anger. And then the word anger itself, commentators, and these are synonymous words in my mind. They're not precise synonyms, but they're nearly the same. There is a difference. Violent outbreak, lasting, there's that resentment again. It's still associated with anger. Strong feeling of displeasure. If you look at the works of the flesh, Paul even says animosity. These are one of the synonyms. One of the lower levels of this of these attributes or attitudes is just feeling animosity towards someone else, right? So, and then the higher degrees of wrath and anger, put them away. And I want to take a moment, though, as we talk about these things, that even commentators mentioned back at verse 26 and say, look, anger is even commanded in verse 26. It just says, don't let it go to the evening. I'm going to say that a different way. I'm going to say it's to be put away. Don't even let it stay till nightfall. And that's why I want to say that. Because, and we're going to talk about this as lessons, as we look at these attitudes and behaviors, there is a sense of lack of control. I know when we talked in our Wednesday night Bible classes, we went through the works of the flesh. There is a way a person can get away with murder in this land. In the courts. How can you get away with murder? One that's out of his mind, the word has completely slipped my mind, but to one who is not in his right mind, one who is just in a passion, comes out and does something wrong. Why? Because when we are angry and wrathful, when we're full of this, we don't reason. Our reasoning is broke. Our reasoning skills are broke. We do not think right. I correlate it personally to how a person who is addicted to drugs reacts. Once they get in that hole, they just keep digging deeper and deeper and deeper, and they can't get themselves out until they get away from it. And that's the way wrath and anger are, and really bitterness. If you want to start with that one, even those are holes we dig ourselves into when we engage in those things. There are holes that we dig ourselves into, and we just keeps getting deeper until we get rid of them, until we put them away. And so when I talk about these things, I put these in a category, and I preach this. I am preaching this. Anger and wrath is something none of us should hold. We should not have any of it. Put it away. Remember, we have two things. We have the good speech, and we got bad speech. They're on two different ends of the spectrum. Anger and wrath belong over here. They belong on the carnal side. They belong on the works of the flesh side, and that's where Paul lists them. and that's where they belong. So that's something good to remember in that regard there. Then the idea of clamor. One of my favorite English words, partly because it's got a lot of syllables when I can say it, onomatopoeia. Basically, a word of a sound, basically pow, P-O-W, pow, that's onomatopoeia. Boom, right? And so, caw, the crow, I would do that, but you would find it very annoying. But that's the Greek word, is literally the sound of a crow, caw. It's an uproar, uproar, a noise. This created a great turbulence, right? A clamoring, a self-assertion of an angry man to who attempts to make everyone hear his grievance. You know, I'm just going to yell louder because you're not listening. I've been wronged. I've been offended. This is wrong. And sometimes my preaching might have come across this way as a clamoring. I hope not, but I try not to. But it can, right? It's about making everyone hear their grievance. We have that a lot in our society today, right? Our politicians, or I take that back, the society has figured out if I can raise a big clamor about something, some big outrage, then I'll get listened to, and I'll get on the news, and people then they'll fear me because I have power in this great noise. And that's what this is about. It's a cry of strife. Impetuous brawling is another word that's used. And again, these are all taken from commentators. I think we understand what clamor is. We have that in our society today. And we see that, understand that, and we want to be cautious about that. We don't want to be that. I know my first work was in a union shop. And one of the tools unions had that they used, and is this idea of clamoring, to raise up a ruckus or a disturbance or make the problem so bad that now I'm given attention to. That's what this is about. And in that regard, I'm gonna make this most difficult as I can on the business until they listen to me. I'm going to make their life miserable until they listen to me. And so that's what this is about. Clamoring. An onomatopoeia. That great English word. I love it, right? One of the few multiple syllable words I use in my vocabulary. So, evil speaking. And this word is actually blaspheme. This is blaspheme. I have to admit, I have rarely thought of blaspheme as vilifying someone else. I always think of blaspheming when you say something bad against God. I just always thought only in the God relationship, only in what we can do to God. But it's not the case. It's just vilification or slandering somebody. Again, something to put away. Don't be of this kind. Edify, encourage, lift up, do good things, speak graciously to others. Don't speak evil, because we don't normally speak evil to them anyways, but if you did, still don't do that. But certainly don't speak evil behind their back, which that's another term. But also the idea of railing and reviling, those are synonyms. To rail against someone, to revile someone, to speak evil, to blaspheme, those are all precise synonyms. There's not hardly any difference in those. They're all the same word, and they're all the same idea. Injurious to another's good reputation or good name. And someone's added this, one commentator added this, this certainly applies, at least in speech, to reproach or scold in a loud and abusive manner. That's another form of this, another application of this, is how we interact with someone else, that we don't do that. Again, we're talking about we should speak things that are good, speak things that are edifying, that are gracious, encouraging, enlightening, inspiring, not demeaning, vilifying, and slanderous, and this is the opposite end of the spectrum here, right? Very opposite end. Evil speaking. And then malice. This kind of really... word in and of itself was, it was just ugly. Malice is the idea of evil intent, ill will. I'm going to do this and I'm going to love it. I'm going to love to see you wallow in your problems and what I do to you. Or you fall upon hard times and people revel in that. He got what he deserved. Yay for that. I just let's just watch him wallow in all these problems and trials and difficulties. Ain't that funny? Ain't that great? He finally got his. That's malice. The ill will or desire to injure and to love it on top of that. That's really an ugly, ugly attitude of the heart. We certainly don't want to be that. evil, intentionally injurious, the love of injury. Looking back at my work history, I have met people who literally thrived off of injury of other people. They loved it. They loved to watch it. They would instigate it. They would do it on purpose just to get them riled up, and then they would savor in it. And so that malice is something we want to put away. And that certainly, I think we look at this certainly as an attitude of the heart. So as we think about all these things, those are all kind of ugly. You know, it's not an exciting sermon. That's not an uplifting sermon. It's not the words, I love to tell the story of Jesus. It's not about the great things. It's about some of the ugly things in life, but they're real. And they're real in our society. In our society, really, they don't look down on it that much. It's even promoted and encouraged in the fact that clamorous people are listened to and given for their cause just to keep them quiet, right? So these are destructive, harmful, rotten, putrid, like that old stinky fish from last week. And matter of fact, I had to lay down a rule for Marco at our trailer park. I was like, listen, we can't go fishing on Wednesday and Thursday because trash don't come again till Tuesday. My trash has been horrible, right? We don't want that. And so we don't want anything anywhere near us, right? We want to put these away, and it may be that in individual categories we can do better on. And it may be, and I hope that the lesson has helped for you in that regard, to know their place. The idea of being bitter, of wrath and anger, and clamoring, and speaking evil of others, and the idea of a malice in our heart and desire for injury of others and liking that. I hope that goes away. So notice about this as we think of lessons. These are all cancerous in nature. They're cancerous. It's not just an act that can be engaged in and then move on. They're cancerous. And it's that they spread. It's not just limited to an individual act. It's basically a hole we start digging. When we go into these and enter into these different categories of badness or corruptness, we just keep digging deeper and deeper, and we have to find our way out of that, to get away from it, and to put them out of our life. There's no cancer we want to leave in our lives. Because we know if I have cancer and if I leave it there, I'd have a quick death. That's what you want it out and you want it far away from you. That's what these are. They're cancers. They're not just cancers, they're highly contagious. I've had the pleasure of being around people who were positive in life. I haven't listened to them enough, but they were good at saying positive things and encouraging things. And that is uplifting. That is contagious. So is the negative side. These can draw us down. They're not just cancerous, they're contagious. They will spread. And they are easily satisfying. The idea that there's an idea of vindictiveness about this, right? Of being vindicated. Certainly in the most extreme form, we're talking about malicious and enjoy those things. But sometimes these can be, they're certainly easy. It's easy to get angry. This is easy. I don't have to have no self-control to get angry. Now, if I want to deal with something the right way, I have to use some self-control. And we can even be satisfied and by some of these. Receive a degree of satisfaction. That's not even, I don't think I'm trying to say a word. It's not a word. It can be satisfying. The idea of being vengeful, the hatred, animosity, those stuff's easy. They are addictive. We can be addicted to these because, like in our society, we reward those who are the loudest because we want them to stop clamoring. So there's a reward part of that, and we can become addicted to that. We can thrive off of these. We can thrive off of putting other people down because it makes us feel better. It makes us feel better to put them down. It makes us feel better to lift us up. And it can even be used as an evil way in a motivation in life. I remember in a Wednesday night Bible class, we talked about how Michael Jordan would always make something up about his opponent so that when he played against him, he could just play as hard as he can because he'd make this evil thing up. You know, he's a wife beater. He molests children. He steals from widows. He creates this evil picture of his opponent. And I made those up, so I don't know exactly which pictures he painted, but he just makes this person be evil. So when he played against him, it was easy. You know, this guy's an evil person. I just You know, but we can do that as well. We can use that to thrive and excel even, like Michael Jordan did. He excelled off of that. But that's not a godly excellence. That's not a godly excellence. Even each one of these has an element of self-pity, a righteous indignation, personal injury. You know, I deserve it because I've been wrong. You know, the system done me wrong or whatever. It doesn't matter. We come up with something to justify ourselves. We'll find something. We're to put them away. We're to separate ourselves from them. And there's a lack of self-control associated with these. We don't have to. It's easy to be angry. It's hard to hold it back sometimes. It's hard to train our mind to say, you know, I'm not going to get angry about that. I'm not going to let that bother me. I'm not going to be bitter about that. I'm not going to even have animosity, the work of the flesh. Just animosity. Forget anger and wrath up here. He said no animosity. And so the lack of self-control and even at his works, the outrage and the idea of the deeper we go, the more out of control we get. You know, I know I'm sure we've all interacted with some who's vehemently angry in life. And you can't reason. If I was that way, you can't reason with me. I have my reasoning skills have checked out. They're gone. I have probably somewhat of a bad habit. I've had people go off on me before, and when it gets bad enough, I literally start laughing at them. That don't work, just let you know. I feel better. Makes me feel better. But I've had people just come down on me and just rail against me, and then I start laughing. Now, at some point, it's just humorous. It's like, really? You're going to get all upset because of, you know, so there is a lack of control when we get off into these. And that is not where God wants us. That's not where God wants us. The idea of an intemperance, when you lose control, the idea of intemperance or incontinence or some other words that we might use. So he says, put away. Now notice some other parallel passages of this putting away aspect. This concept and how we deal and how we interact and how our relationship with these things shows up in other passages. And I think I want you to consider these in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. There Paul speaking to a young preacher on his job and how he interacts with others. There are 1 Timothy 6, verse 4 and 5, and I'll read that. We've got a couple of scripture references we'll look at here. 1 Timothy 6, verse 4. This person he's referring to here, he was proud. He does not know anything. He notes about questions and strifes of words, whereof produces envy and strife and railings. We talked about that already. That's a synonymous word with evil speaking, the railings. Evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. So one of our words shows up here. I think I'm going to say these are some other words in that same category, the category of things to be put away. But here are the specific word railings, speaking out against others and other things. But notice the response, in 1 Corinthians 5. Also, this same word shows up, one who is a reviler, in association and context with some other similar words or some other works of the flesh type or carnal type responses in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11. As Paul is teaching the Corinthian church on how to deal with sin, notice the nature of these sins. Now I write to you not to keep company, not to associate, if anyone is called a brother, if he is a fornicator, or a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or extortioner, with one, don't even eat. There again, our particular word railer, and again, look what it's associated with. We have envy and strife, evil surmising, covetous, idolater, fornicators, drunkards, extortioners, and a railer. Someone who speaks ill of others is in that same category. Notice what is commanded here. Stay away from them. The same word we've already talked about, put these things away. Well, it also is put away these people. Well, I think that makes in so far as logical sense. If these are cancerous, if these are destructive, if these are contagious, well, there you go. That fits, doesn't it? That's what some of this is about. And it's about protecting ourselves. Notice in Matthew 7, And we talked about this again on Wednesday night for you in the class. You'll recognize, you know where I'm going to go with this now. We are instructed to protect ourselves. We're supposed to put away these things. We're supposed to withdraw ourselves as a church. Withdraw ourselves from these things. And in Matthew 7:6, don't give that which, this is the entire passage here, so don't give that which is holy to the dogs, because they will turn and rend you again. They will turn and tear you to pieces. Protect yourself. Protect yourself. So don't give that which is holy to dogs. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Separate your. Put these things away. Put them, these things away from your own life. And from those you, who you, with whom you have experiences with. Separate yourself from these things. Why? Because these things are contagious. Because these things are destructive. Because these things bring down. They destroy. They're not edifying. So protect yourself and protect the church. There is that tone about the aggressiveness with which we are to respond to these things. Why? Because they're rotten. Because they're corrupt. Because they're putrid. Because they're cancerous. They're malignant. And they're not edifying, they're not encouraging, they're not building up, they're not helping, they're destroying. And so put these things away. So good speech, the speech that edifies us, that is gracious in nature, not giving what one deserves, but being gracious to them, being kind to them in what you do, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Let your speech in Colossians 4:6, this is that same slide from last week, same slide here last week too. Be personal. Be gracious. Compliment somebody. Be flattering to somebody. Uplifting. I think of these things, we probably utilize this maybe the least as we should. Give it a try. Make a point to do this and make a pattern change your life if you need to. I know I do. And maybe you can as well. Maybe there are certain areas you can. And speaking the truth. And remember, no, we don't always tell the truth. Sometimes we just keep our mouth shut, right? Just don't say anything. If you don't, and there's an art to reframing things. You know, I'm excited and glad that the Longhenders experienced 90-degree weather. I'm so glad for them. I'm not glad for me. I don't want it. But I'm glad for them. I can speak positive. I can rejoice in that. I can rejoice in what they're experiencing. I hope they don't mind me using them for a lesson topic this morning as an analogy there. Find that way to think and become positive and encouraging others. It may not be what you like, and that's okay. But also in your own life, be positive. Be encouraging. We need that. We need to work on that. I need to work on that. You can make your own decision about that. I hope the lesson has been encouraging in some way to you. I know there was some ugly stuff in that, wasn't there? There was some really ugly stuff, but it's supposed to be ugly. It is ugly. And we can work, if we have no doubt, we are not immune to Satan's devices. And we may have some of those areas we can work on, and I encourage you to do that as well. It's life-changing. It's life-changing. It's important and critical for our mission as saints, our mission as Christians, is important to rid ourselves of any and all aspects of those that we may have. And so I hope that is less than meaningful to you. And if you want to reference that, we have copies of the lesson sheet in back, and you can take that home too and review that as you wish. So I hope this has been beneficial. We always want to encourage you to let us know for anything we can help you with. Jesus has established the pattern of life that is good for, not just good for us, it's what we're designed for. We're designed, and our purpose in life is to be kind and to be gracious to others. To be kind and gracious in our speech. That's what we're designed for. And he has established that. He's taught us that. He also taught us how we can become cleansed of our wrongdoings and become his disciple. That's through baptism. If you're not a disciple of Jesus and a follower of his teachings, the first step in that was, as he taught the apostles, teaching them and baptizing them by the authority of God. And then if you have begun that and there's something we can help you with, you wish of the public nature to let us help you with, we encourage you to let us know that now as well as we stand and sing our song that we've selected for our encouragement.